Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And on Fit Chicks Chat, as you know, we're always talking in this podcast about, you know, a mix of all of our different passions like fitness, nutrition, wellness, and business. But for today's podcast, what we're going to be talking about is the top five reasons to avoid crunches and what you should do instead.
Which probably a lot of people listening to this right now are like, what do you mean I'm supposed to avoid crunches? How am I supposed to get rock hard abs?
Exactly. And I know it's like, it's one of the most common things, right? Like I remember even being like a young kid and I would do crunches after crunches. Like I would just like lay on my floor and do like, I'm like, I got to do 500 sit-ups, like crazy, you know, because I thought that that was like the be all end all. And that was what was going to do it for me. But today we're going to talk about why you should probably be avoiding them and what you can do instead. So really, because I mean, what we're talking about is like why crunches are really not doing you any favors. And, you know, so let's just get into it really. Cause I mean, the number one thing that we need to talk about is why you should avoid them.
I know. I like this topic. I let you know how, you know how I like those Mythbusters. But also, well, I think I feel like it is a myth buster in a sense, because it has been one of those things. I mean, way back in the 80s, it was like buns of steel. Like, remember when buns of steel was so massive and there was all those workout videos for like booty work?
Totally. Then it became abs of steel. Body flexion.
Exactly. And then it went into abs of steel. And then we just got into this like crunch obsession. And I do feel like there's a shift going on now, especially more with like, you know, yoga coming out and things like that. But yeah, I think it's going to be cool to give people some other options and to really kind of understand why they should probably be doing something else.
Right. And I mean, now just as like a side note to say, like, I'm not saying don't do them, but I'm saying if you're really looking to get a strong, lean core, you might want to avoid them altogether. So I'm going to give you reasons why I think you should, well, we are going to give you reasons why we think you should avoid them, the top five reasons why, and then we're going to give you three tips on how you can actually build a lean core without a single crunch. So let's just get into it. So number one reason why you should avoid crunches is because they can be dangerous. So when I say dangerous, like everyone thinks like, you know, when I think of the word danger, I always think of like danger. I don't know why. I always think extreme. Like I always think like danger, like falling off a cliff,
like, yeah, danger. Or like electric wires.
Yeah. But really they can be dangerous because they can be dangerous to your well-being and your physical well-being. Because the reason why they can be dangerous is that most people are not doing them with correct form. So the chances are, if you're one of those people that are doing crunches and when you're doing them, you start feeling that neck strain or that like pulling in your upper back, or that tension like along like the top part of your shoulder area. And you can really feel that, like it's like super intense, but you're like, no, I got to power through it. Got to keep going. Got to get those abs. The reason why you're feeling that pain and not the core working is because you are doing it incorrectly. You have incorrect form. You're pulling on your neck.
And I think, I mean, just to give people, obviously, you know, when we say crunch, just give people an idea of what we're saying for a crunch is, you know, you're laying on your back, average crunch, hands behind the head. Mm-hmm. And basically what you're doing is you're lifting your shoulders, your head, your neck, your shoulders off the floor by using your core, squeezing your abs to lift yourself up.
Right.
But as you're saying, it can be dangerous because a lot of people, what they're doing instead of, you know, engaging the core and lifting from the core, what they're doing is using their hands behind their head and pulling their neck in, which is super, like you were saying, you know, for neck strain, you can really start to even slip discs in your spine because you're yanking and it's not a natural motion. So it can be really dangerous if you're not really focusing on using the core to lift up that upper body and using your hands instead.
Definitely. And I mean, one of the best ways to know if you are one of those people that is doing that is A, by the neck pain, if you're having that strain. But even if you're not having that neck strain, a lot of times the way that you can tell and the way that I can visually tell as a trainer when I'm looking around at clients is that I can see that their chin is moving towards their chest as opposed to their heart moving towards the ceiling. So when you're doing a crunch, if you are doing proper form, it really should be about pulling in through your belly button so that your lower back flattens, and then you're lifting like your heart is going to touch the ceiling. So you're lifting up. Everything is going upwards. You're looking straight up and you're lifting up. Right? So that would be proper form. But often we're like looking, almost like we're looking at our abs, like trying to see like, is it working? Is it happening?
And it's funny, every time we do these podcasts too, I literally am like sitting here right now doing the motion. Like
I just did it too.
I'm like sitting in my chair doing sitting crunches. Like I'm like, oh yeah, that's exactly how you do it if you're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my gosh, if you saw me right now with my big pregnant belly too, it's
weird. You're awesome, pregnant belly. I think too, like a couple of cues that I use as well, and I like that one that you just said, you know, heart towards the ceiling, is a couple of cues I use with my clients to help them make sure that they're not doing that chin tuck or pulling on their head, is thinking about an orange or a baseball underneath your chin. So, you know, you can't hold an orange or a baseball if your chin's tucked all the way in. And also I like to pick a spot on the ceiling that you just focus on and lift up towards that. Because when your eyes are all over the place, your body will follow where your eyes are looking. So if you're looking, you know, at your belly button, you're going to keep that chin tucked in. Or if you're looking to the left, you're going to be going offside. And, you know, you've really got to be aware of the spine. I think people, they don't think of the spine when they're doing crunches. And there's so much damage that you can do if you're just doing them once in a while, but if you are doing crunches, let's say after every single workout 5 days a week, and you're pulling on your neck like that, you can do serious damage.
Totally. And one of the other things that can happen if you are someone who's having poor posture doing this, and then you're sort of, you know, really pulling, you can actually cause your spine to flatten slightly, which can then lead to slumped shoulders and possibly a humpback. So, you know, like that feel, like that lifting in your shoulder area, because you're pulling and straining so much, you're actually causing your spine to flatten out, and it'll actually cause that slumping forward. So then you would actually have that extra curvature in the upper part of your back. So one of the main reasons why I would say to avoid crunches is they can be dangerous, and they can cause so many physical ailments for you unless you are doing them, like, I wouldn't say perfect, but unless you are doing them with proper form. So that is my number one reason why I say just avoid them altogether. There are so many other options. So number two is that they only focus on surface muscles or the superficial ones. There's not a lot of deep core stuff that's going on when you're doing a crunch, which is completely important, not only for, you know, because I know that people like doing crunches because they're like, oh, I want my abs to look good. But when you think about working your core, you need to be thinking about it not just from a superficial standpoint, but you also need to be thinking about it from your core is what supports your body. Right? Like, this is your main support system. So if you are, and it also, not only is it your support system, sorry, but it also protects all of your organs. So if you don't have a strong core, you're not doing yourself an injustice. And so really, you know, doing just like the superficial stuff is great if that's aesthetically all you care about. However, if you're looking for a strong core for life, to lead a pain-free life, you need to be doing all types of movements in order to work all your entire core from front to back.
Well, and I just want to add to that too, is that, you know, yes, you're working your surface muscles or the superficial muscles, but most people, they can't even get a six pack, even just the way their bodies are shaped. So you could be doing crunches till the cows come home, but your superficial muscles, they might not be visible even no matter if you're super, super lean. So again, body composition, there's so many other things that come into it from an aesthetic standpoint. But then also what you were saying too about, you know, they're not working the deep core. I just want to add in too that, you know, when we think of core, we only think of abs. And really, you got to shift your perspective on that, because your core is your entire midsection, which includes your back. You know, it includes your front abs, includes your obliques, like your side abs, it includes everything. So yes, you want to have a strong front, but you've got to have a strong back as well, or you're not going to balance out. And that's definitely why with crunches, really, it's like you were saying, there's so many other exercises to do, which we're going to get into, but you want to be doing those because you're going to hit the front and the back at the same time. And that's what you really want.
For sure. All right. So number three, Laura, what would you say the third reason would be to avoid crunches altogether?
Well, I would say also one, and I actually suffer from this, is that they can cause tight hips. Excuse me, and which that also can lead to very sore lower backs.
Yeah.
So
that is right.
Yeah, like if you have really, really tight hips or if you have any lower back pain, and you're doing like a million crunches a day, chances are you are just basically making your hips a lot tighter and you're going to be straining your back even, and well, and giving yourself more lower back pain. Because the thing I think a lot of people forget too is that, you know, everything in your body, nothing's isolated. Everything feeds into the next thing. So for example, you know, if you have tight hips, it's not just because you have tight hips. It's also could be because you're straining your back or you're doing too many crunches or you have really tight traps that are now, you know, like everything is, it all kind of rolls into each other. So nothing's isolated. So you've got to be careful. Even when you're doing something like crunches, if it's causing you any other pain, anywhere else in your body, then it's not worth doing it because you're just doing more damage than good.
Definitely. And I think, I mean, the reason, one of the reasons why the hips get tighter as you do crunches is because what happens when you're crunching and when you start getting tired is that you start engaging through your booty, right? Like your bum starts tightening, you start clenching, like everything starts getting really tight, right? And so then all of a sudden your hip flexors start kicking in. And I always say when I'm explaining it in a class, I always say like, if you feel your hip flexors kicking in, which is that muscle that kind of connects like right in the front, like your psoas muscles, like right here at the front of your thigh, between your hip and your thigh, sort of that connective tissue. If you feel that engaging, I always say in my class, it's because it's whatever you're doing is really hard and these muscles are kicking in to be like, let me help you out. So really like that's kind of what's happening. But what you're doing is now you're strengthening those muscles, which is then going to lead to tighter hips because now these muscles are activating, they're getting stronger and they're getting tighter with every crunch. So you might not actually be getting tighter in the core with every crunch, but now you've got tighter psoas and hip flexors, which is probably not what you're looking for because having and losing a lot of mobility in your hips is as you get, you know, as you, I was going to say get older, but really day to day, all that's going to do is potentially cause you lower back pain, cause you mobility issues, cause you, like chances are you won't be able to like, you know what I mean? Like if you're a runner, you won't be able to run as fast. You will get sore faster, like all of those things. So you really want to avoid having tight hip flexors. So the solution to that, of course, is avoid crunches, especially when you feel your hip flexors kicking in, take a break, or to learn how to really stretch them out, right? Like you have to learn that stuff, but that's another topic altogether.
Which I definitely think we should chat about that. Cause you know how I love talking tight hips.
You know how I love loose hips.
which is my goal. Right. Which is my goal.
So the number four reason why you should avoid crunches is they are not the solution to a flat belly because they do not work your entire body. So when you crunch, you're isolating a small amount of muscle group. Right? So like, just like generally it's like your upper, maybe a little bit of your lower abs, but you're not really engaging a ton of muscles. So when you're doing that, you're actually limiting your calorie burn and muscle engagement. And oftentimes, and we hear this all the time, and you know, and this is so common where people say like, all I want is to lose my midsection. So then what do? They just start crunching away and they feel like by doing this, they can spot reduce. Spot reducing is just essentially choosing an area on your body, like your core, and saying, okay, if I work this, I'll shrink it. But really just by doing crunches, you are maybe engaging some of the muscles and maybe making them a little bit stronger. But again, it's the superficial muscles, but you're also not engaging enough of your body in order to burn a ton of calories. So you're really not doing yourself that much of a justice.
Well, and that's why I always love, and even in our Fit Chicks boot camp classes, and in our videos and our DVDs and stuff, you know, we always focus on doing compound movements and doing, which are movements that engage more than one muscle group, as opposed to isolated movements, which is something to me, I consider a crunch, even though it does engage a few more muscles, but it is pretty much isolated because you're just focusing on the abs. Where there's so many more things you can do where you're going to get the same ab work or even more and burn a lot more calories and, you know, utilize other muscles. Like even for me, and I know we're going to get into this later on, but one of my favorite core exercises is actually a squat. And people don't think of the squat as a core exercise. And it's one of the best ones you can do.
Yeah.
Squat, if you a weighted squat with a heavier barbell on your back will activate your core so much. Always, you know, got to get the mind muscle connection, but that's one of the things that I think about when I think about doing, doing core work, because like you were saying, you know, crunches, they're not the solution to a flat belly. You're really just activating those superficial muscles, getting a very low calorie burn. And it's, to me, it's not worth it.
No, I mean, if your goal is to shrink your midsection, and that's sort of your end goal, is to say like, I want a smaller midsection, I want my belly to be gone, I'm tired of it or whatever, you need to do more than just crunches. You need to do a total body workout. You need to add cardiovascular movements to burn the excess fat. You can't just crunch it away. So if that is your main goal, is to get rid of your midsection, stop crunching and start doing other things and start looking at a total body program.
Well, it's like that thing. Sorry, I'm just sidetracking for 1 second.
No, it's okay.
I remember that. I can't remember what it's called, but it's an ab exercise. Like basically, I think they still have it at my gym.
You like lay, the ab roller?
Yeah. Like you lay your head on it and you put your hands up and it almost is like you're pushing your head forward, like with your hands. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I still see people just just going like hard, like kamikaze on it and just thinking, oh my God, their neck, and they're not really working anything, but they're just so focused on spot reducing. And it's such, like we're saying, nothing in the body is isolated. You've got to look at the whole picture.
Exactly. And this is probably my main reason why I would say our fifth and final reason, and probably my main reason why I'd say that you should avoid crunches. And that's because they are a snooze fest. They're so boring. Anything that you're doing, if you're doing something, if you're like, I'm going to do 500 crunches, by the time you hit about 50, you're going to be so disengaged. Like you're just, you know, maybe you'll be like, oh, I can feel the burn. But other than that, your mind is going to start wandering because it's just this single, slow, isolated movement, or maybe fast if you're kind of really rushing through them. But really, as soon as you disengage, as soon as your brain disengages from that muscle and you just start like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to just watch this TV show, and you're just crunching away and you then start disengaging from what you're really doing. Your muscles are not really working properly, engaging properly in order for you to actually isolate them and work them properly. So now that's usually when number one starts happening, when you start completely disengaging, and then you just start yanking on your neck and start pulling forward, and you'll do more harm than good. In the sense, if you're doing something like what you were just saying, Laura, like with squats with a heavy barbell, you have to stay engaged because it's heavy. Or if you're doing medicine ball slams or something like that, where you actually stay completely engaged because it's an active movement, as opposed to, and yes, crunches are active, but they're so minimal in terms of the movement that oftentimes you just completely disengage. Your brain just shuts off. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally. And I always think too, I mean, especially as you know, like I like lifting heavy weights, and I mean, there's all different ways of lifting weights. But usually, you know, the rule of kind of thumb is just once you get to the end of your reps, so that's how many of the exercise you can do. So just say I'm doing 3 sets of 8 for, we'll just use the squat. If I can get to 8 and I still feel like I could do 1 or 2 more, I should be upping my weight, because that means that I'm not challenging my body anymore. And muscles, they need to be challenged. They need to be broken down to rebuild. So, you know, when it comes to crunches, if you're doing 500 crunches, there is not really, like, how much are you changing your body anyways? Not to mention that now you've just wasted a ton of time and you're bored, you know, like,
yeah.
So I totally agree. And I think the one thing with exercise that a lot of us need to get back into is that mind muscle connection, not only for safety, but for results. Because if you do not pay attention to what you're working, I truly believe that it will not get you the results that you want. And I know that it's kind of, some people might think it's hokey. There's no science. There are some science, scientific studies that support it. There's some that don't, but I truly, even with my own body, feel such a different when I'm present and I'm truly engaged, as opposed to being, you know, doing exercises that are boring and then my mind's wandering and, you know, I'm doing 500.
Of course. No, for sure. And I mean, it's, yes, it's, you know, it engages your muscles more, but I mean, obviously from like the yoga side of it, you know, when I hear about people disengaging and stuff, I always think about sort of how in yoga practice, and I know this is kind of a side note, but it's all about engaging and staying focused and keeping your mind completely engaged in every single breath and every single movement. And that helps you physically, but it also conditions your mind to be still and to be steady and to be more focused. So it's like a win-win.
And it also conditions your mind, I find, to appreciate your body in a different way. And again, side noting, we'll get back to our abs in a second, but it's one of those things. I just think that, you know, especially we talk a lot about self-love and we talk a lot about, you know, understanding your, like finding the partnership between your, the way you feel about your body and your body. And I just think that when you do exercise and you work with your body as opposed to against it, it does make you actually appreciate your body more. And then in turn, you'll end up having more self-love. So it all goes hand in hand. Okay. Back to the topic at hand.
So now, all right. So
I have mistakes.
Yes. So now we're going to talk about the top three tips for getting a lean core without a single crunch. So we talked about why you should avoid it. Now let's talk about what you can do and why you should do some of these things without a single crunch in order to get a lean core. So number one, we already touched on earlier, Laura, so you already touched on it. So if you want to continue with that, basically number one is to work your entire core.
Well, yeah, because like I was saying, you know, we just think of, when we think of core, we think of abs, and that's not the case. So the core, it's actually four muscle groups. So there's your transverse abdomen abs, and those are basically a strip of muscles that go from your spine to your pubic bone. Those also are the very deep, they're very deep core muscles. You have your obliques, which run along the side. You have internal obliques and external obliques, and then you have your upper and lower abs. But the one thing we also don't really think about as well is your erector spinae, your lower back. Mm-hmm. So you've got to think about working. I mean, all of them have a different purpose. So, you know, for example, like your obliques, they help your body rotate. So if you don't have strong obliques and you're having issues with rotating or bending side to side, you're going to be really limited in a lot of things that you do in your day to day. You know what I mean? Like, how often do we rotate around? How often do you like lean down to the side to pick things up? There's things that we just don't even think about with, I think, with a lot of our core muscles and a lot of things that we're doing with them or that we use them for.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's... when we think about even like our transverse abs, and those are like we're saying, and I always like how you talk about the transverse abs. Explain how you, what you always say to your chicks.
Oh, the transverse abs, I always explain them as it runs from your spine to your belly button. And I always say it's kind of like a hug for your entire core because it holds everything in. So it's like, it's almost like a hug or like a seatbelt that like pulls everything in. So if you have weak transverse abdominals, you won't be able to have that tightening and that strength from spine to core. Spine to belly button.
Well, and they're the ones that we really have to focus on, I personally think, because like these are the ones that aren't going to give you the six pack look. You know what I mean? Like these are the ones that are really for more for function. They're the ones that are going to give you the long-term results and the long-term support, like as we get older and doing different activities and also, you know, for health reasons. But they don't look like a six pack. Those are the superficial abs that they don't really do anything other than just kind of look like a six pack.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones I always think about are those obliques, because like I was saying, you know, the rotations and like leaning side to side, as well as your transverse, because they're the ones that are really, you know, holding you up.
Definitely. And I think just for anyone who's listening, on our blog, we will add in a couple of different exercises that you can do for transverse your and for your obliques as well, so that you get an idea of the different things that you can do so that you can avoid the crunches, but actually strengthen those muscles.
And we do an entire, even in our videos, we have a bonus video. It's crunchless core, because we love crunchless core exercises. So we're really focused on, because there's so many things you can do from, I know we're going to chat about, but from planks to standing abs to, you know, to different like exercise, compound exercises like squats we were talking about, that are so involved in getting, you know, really engaging the transverse abs, really engaging the muscles that we want to work during core, and getting a killer calorie burn at the same time.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I mean, going back to working your entire core, you know, and I know that we touched on this earlier as to why you should avoid crunches, but really the reason why, you know, you need to work your entire core is, you know, it helps to prevent injuries from everyday movements. So like what you're saying, like just bending and picking something up, you know, if you do not work your entire core, if you don't have a strong entire core, that will be a problem potentially. You could actually injure yourself, you know, so it helps to prevent injuries for everyday movement, protects your inner organs and central nervous system. As I mentioned earlier, you need to protect that. I mean, your core is where most of your organs are housed. So you've got to keep it nice and strong and protected. Also, it banishes lower back pain. So, you know, and that's something that if you're not being mindful of your core when you sit, when you stand, et cetera, you can cause lower back pain and compressed discs in your spine. So,
well, and I just want to side note that too, because I think that's a major issue right now, especially because, you know, they're saying like sitting is the new smoking. Like it's so bad for how much we sit and how much damage it's doing to our back. And even a lot of people, you know, they bring those, the big stability balls in to sit at work, which are actually, if you are not sitting properly and really engaging your core, you're going to be doing more damage to your lower back too, because you're slumping over. So
for sure,
for the amount that we sit, you really have to make sure you are doing some sort of core exercises, because if not, just sitting all day like that is going to be so damaging.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I actually read this on a blog about lower back pain, and it was a really cool sort of idea as to how to kind of learn how to get better posture when you're sitting. So it was a trick in order to do that. So it was when you're driving. So as you're sitting in your car, and you could probably do this if you even set up like, you know, at your desk, if you had a mirror or something that was at eye level. So basically you could do it either way, but they had it as an example when you're driving. But basically, so what you would do is you would sit in the driver's seat and you would have your rear view mirror set up so that when you sit up perfectly straight, so you get in your car, sit up with perfect posture and set your rear view mirror so that it is set to eye level during this time. But then as you're driving, if you notice that all of a sudden you're like, you can't see in your rear view mirror anymore, chances are you're slumping.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, no. So you're losing your posture, right? So then this is a really cool technique to just make sure that you are maintaining that posture, which will engage your core, protect your lower back, protect your discs, right? So again, you could do the driving, but you can also do that at your desk. Like the way I see it is you would just do the exact same thing and put some sort of a mirror or something that is eye level. And, you know, if anyone thinks that you're being vain at the office or anything, you can just explain to them what you're doing. You're just, you know, you're trying to improve your posture. And so it's just, it's a really cool way of kind of figuring out what that posture looks like for you and then learning how to maintain it.
Sweet tip. I dig it. Okay. The next thing, our second top tip for getting a lean core without a single crunch is, of course, something I love talking about, and that is nutrition. And I'm sure we've all heard the saying, abs are made in the kitchen. And it's so true. You know, especially again, you know, I still think a lot of people believe that you can just do crunches and you're going to get a six pack. But really those muscles, and like I was saying earlier, some people, your body is just made that you will never be able to see those muscles. It's just the way that your body is. But if you do want to build or see your abs, you've really got to focus on the nutrition to lean out, to show them, because especially for women, we naturally tend to carry weight in our lower belly, in our belly, our hips, and in our bum. And we also have a higher body fat because that's the way we're built to carry babies. So it's one of those things that for us, it's more of a struggle to get that lean, and getting that lean also can be pretty dangerous as well. So when it comes to wanting to see your abs though, and building any muscle, obviously you need to make sure that you are eating, you know, real whole foods, that you are getting enough protein in, you're getting the right amino acids, to help support muscle growth, you're taking vitamins. So there's a lot of things, but just, you know, if you're on the crunch quest and it is not happening for you, A, ditch the crunches and do some other exercises, and B, take a look in your kitchen and what foods that you have in there, and make sure that you're supporting muscle growth, not going against it.
Definitely. No, and I think, you know, one of the other things, and I know you and I, Laura, have talked about this a lot, and I don't know if there's any like science behind it that supports it, but I know that, like, you know, it's like this weird phenomenon that we always talk about, that, you know, we find in like today's day, a lot of people have this spare tire syndrome where they have really lean limbs, like in terms of like arms and legs, like they're really small, but then they have this spare tire around the center. And a lot of times, you know, when you and I've talked about it, we're like, well, you know, is that chemicals from all of the processed foods being trapped in the body? Is it something that is being trapped because the body doesn't know how to process it? Because basically you know, you have to think about how things are metabolized. And then there's like a chemical and a psychological response to the types of food that we eat, right? So there is a cause and effect. So whatever you eat will result in a specific response in your body. So for example, five psychological responses are, number one, that carbohydrates and sugar raise your blood sugar, right? So we all know this, or maybe we don't all know this, but we should definitely know this, that when you eat excessive amounts of carbohydrates, more than what you are burning, they then get stored as fat. Because if you're not immediately using them for energy, those carbohydrates are then stored as fat because they're converted to glycogen.
Well, the thing too is that, I mean, and it's not a simple, like, that's exactly what happens to everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
No, of course. But we're just sort of going through like the sort of general psychological responses that would happen.
Physiological responses.
Oh, physiological. Yes. Sorry. I don't know where my brain is. Sorry.
I think a lot to do with, and I know there's a lot to do with belly fat. And it depends on your body shape naturally. Are you an apple? Apples are usually people who gain more weight, you know, throughout their midsection. A lot of times have skinnier legs, skinnier arms. If you're a pear, you gain more in the hips and in the bum area, which is less dangerous because that actually the apple body shape is more dangerous to your health because that's where we're gaining more of the weight around the midsection. And it's called visceral fat. And that is, you know, it's a lot more dangerous because it's close to your organs. But yeah, like when it comes to a lot of things to do with carbohydrates, yes, you know, depending on how your body stores them, what type of burner you are, all things like that is going to play into it. But carbs in general, like you were saying, they do spike blood sugar. So you really want to make sure that you are balancing those out with a protein and a fat, so you're not going to have that type of response. The thing with a lot of people too, who are having this midsection, and we are seeing a huge rise in it, especially in younger people now, which is due to the rise of, you know, processed foods, high fructose corn syrup, chemicals in our foods. And a lot of times too, it's hormonal imbalance. So that spare tire comes from excess estrogen, imbalances within, you know, the hormones within your body. So unless we start to look at the bigger picture again, not just the foods we're eating, but looking at balancing the hormonal, the hormones as well, then you're not going to be able to get rid of it no matter how clean you eat.
Right.
So it's one of those things I think that, you know, again, that's a topic for another day, but when it comes to just getting rid of that spare tire, you have to look at, obviously looking at your foods, but also look at, you know, your stress levels. And if you're having a major problem, go out and get it tested, go to your doctor and see if you do have, you know, an excess in different hormonal levels. Because as soon as you get those under control, your body wants to be in balance. That's the thing with our bodies. It's funny because, you know, we always try to work against it, but we want to be in balance. So as soon as you start to shift some things, big changes will happen emotionally, physically, you know, aesthetically. Pretty awesome. Okay. So for the last one, plan.
Yeah, for the, Yeah, for the last one, I have it as, you know, the last tip for getting lean core without a single crunch is to plank. Plank, plank, plank. Welcome to the magical world of planks. And the reason why I have it just as planks, but really, I'm saying planks because I love planks, but in here, we can also talk about, like what you said, like some other exercises as well that you can do. Because really what I want to talk about is just different way to look at, you know, working your entire core without having to do a crunch, right?
Well, I really love planks too. And I find, you know, with the rise in yoga, planks really got into the mainstream. Because I remember when we were younger, you never really, the only exercises people would do were crunches for core work. Mm-hmm. And then when planks came in, it was just like, oh my gosh, like what a whole new world of like core exercises. And there's so many versions you can do. Like you can do front planks, side planks, reverse planks. I've even done like wall planks, using benches to do planks. Like there's so many different variations. So not only is it like you can make them super challenging, you can work every part of your core muscle, but also there's fun. Like they're not boring like crunches.
Exactly. And you don't need to do like, you know, like I was saying earlier, like a lot of times when people are doing crunches, they think I gotta do 100 or 500 or whatever the case may be. With planks, you do it until failure, in the sense of when you start feeling like you are losing, you know, the engagement and the proper form, that's when you stop. So it's, you know, you won't be doing it for, well, maybe you are, but generally you won't be doing it for 5 minutes straight or anything like that, because you want to be challenging your body. Like what you were saying earlier, you want to be challenging yourself. You want to make sure that when you are getting to, you know, if you're say, I'm going to do a minute plank, you want to make sure that the version that you're doing is going to challenge you and that you're going to feel it in your core.
Well, and that's what I love with planks too, is like we were saying before, you know, once you get to that point where you feel like you could still do longer, you've got to up the outside challenge. Like you've got to make it more challenging. So for example, if you're doing like a regular plank and you feel like you could hold that for 10 minutes, no problem, you know, try to lift off one arm and one leg. And suddenly now you've changed the game. You know what I mean? Like now that plank just went from being like, oh, I could do it now for 10 minutes because I've been practicing for so long. Like, holy crap, I can only do this for a minute. You know, there's so many different challenges that you can add to the exercise.
For sure. Now, but if you are, I'm going to add to that though, because if you are doing planks and, you know, and I've learned this through a lot of my yoga practice, and this is sort of how I actually learned how to do a really proper plank. And it took me a long time to actually figure it out, because oftentimes we feel like we're doing planks properly, right? Like you're kind of like, okay, I'm just going to on my elbows, come up on my toes, hold it. But often we're doing it incorrectly, and that's why we can't hold it for a long time. So correct form for a plank is that your bum is down. So keep your bum out of the air. So you don't want to have kind of that downward dog, so upside down triangle sort of thing going on. You want to try to keep your bum and your hips level. You also want to keep your eyes forward. And the reason why you want to look forward is, I always say in my class, because I'm such a nerd, I'm always like, look ahead, just like in life. But you also want to look forward, because when you're looking forward, you're keeping your air passageway, so your throat open. If you're trying to look at your toes or you're trying to look at your core engaging, you're closing off your air passageway. So you're actually making it harder for yourself because you're not able to breathe properly. And then, but this is the big one, is that you want to have ribbed hip engagement. So oftentimes, even if you have bum down, eyes forward, you're pushing through your heels, you're keeping everything strong, but your belly is kind of sagging towards the ground and you're not having that rib to hip engagement, you might start feeling it in your lower back, right? So for any of our listeners that are like, oh, that's me, I always feel it in my lower back. You need to engage through your ribs and your hips. So what I mean by that is you want to think about your lower rib cage touching your hip bones. So you're actually almost doing like a little mini crunch while you're holding your plank. When you do that, it's like a game changer, because instantly you'll start feeling like a leaf, like everything's shaking, because it's so much more engaging, because now you have your entire core actually completely engaged, and you'll take that pressure to your lower back. So for anyone listening, just try that, like really try to think always ribs to hips. And as soon as you start losing that, you start feeling sort of your belly sagging or your lower back having that curve because you're dropping your core down towards the ground. That's when you just rest for a minute and then go back into it.
So for someone who is a big cruncher, before we wrap this up, Like, what would you say to them if they were like to ditch the crunches, get into planks, just doing a regular plank? What would you recommend them to start? Like to do 30 seconds, like three sets of 30 seconds after a workout, or, you know, just hold, do it once? Like, what would you recommend to add to their workout routine?
Well, I would say for anyone who's a big cruncher, and I mean, it all depends on sort of where you are starting out, right? But if you're someone who is sort of either just starting out or someone who's been doing a lot of crunches and you're just sort of getting used to doing planks, start out by just doing 30 seconds. Do 3 to 5 sets. So 3 to 5 repetitions. Do 30 seconds rest, 30 seconds repeat, 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 and keep doing it that way for 3 to 5 times. Feel the engagement. I want, like, my big thing is that I always want my clients to feel that engagement of their core rather than feeling it in their, like, more pain sort of in their upper body or in their lower back or things like that. Because once you start feeling that engagement and you feel that connection, that's when you know, okay, now this is what it's supposed to feel like. And then once you have the proper form down, that's when you can start experimenting a little bit more with lengthening the time or, you know, adding one arm out or lifting up a leg and things like that, because you have to be able to maintain that engagement in order to be able to sort of accelerate in the movement. That's my opinion, is definitely start small, build on it from there.
Love it. Okay, so I think that brings us to the end.
It does. So we always like to wrap it up with the one thing. If you have one thing that you want our listeners to really take away from this, Laura, what would it be?
Well, I would like to say ditch the crunches. Just even try. I mean, it's the way that we're built is we're creatures of habit. And even if we've done something for a long period of time that is not working for us, we will keep doing it. And it's very strange. It's just the way we are kind of built. So I want our listeners to take away that if they are doing crunches, to challenge themselves for the next week to swap out their crunches for the plank. And like you said, just do 30 seconds if they're just starting out, or, you know, for 3 to 5 sets, but completely take the crunches out of it and just do the plank and see at the end of the week how they feel. If their core is sore, if they feel they have less neck pain, if they feel more connected to their body. But that's what I would like them to take away.
No, that's a great tip for sure. Just try it. You might like it. My big tip that I would like everyone to take away is to, regardless of sort of what your end goal is, remember to work your entire core. I am such a big pusher on the transverse abs, as you know, which planks work your transverse abs. And that's why I love planks. But I, you know, for me, it really is about having that strong core, because the last thing I want is to go through, when I had that lower back issue and I had that injury, it was 1.5 years of recovery for me. And for anyone to have to go through that is really challenging. And so, you know, that's when I became obsessed with planking and really started understanding the engagements and techniques. And so I think that, you know, for anyone listening, just really pay attention to your entire core, work every muscle, learn how to really engage through every muscle, and don't forget your lower back, because if you imbalance, that's when you start running into problems physically.
Well, yeah. And as soon as you have a problem, that's when you're like, damn it, I wish I would have paid attention to the core. And don't let it get to that point. You know what I mean? Like, do it now. Exactly. Do the preliminary work so you will never have to deal with that issue.
Totally.
Okay.
All right. Well, as always, thank you so much for listening. And of course, we always want to hear from you. So if you have any comments, feedback, or if you have any questions that you want us to cover in our next podcast, please email us at info@fitchicks.ca. You can also check us out at fitchicks.ca on Instagram, Twitter, and then at Fitchicks Bootcamp on Facebook. And yeah, I guess that's everything. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Ooh, and one last thing I want to add in. Shameless.
Yeah.
We also have, if you love learning about fitness, also nutrition, wellness, and business, we have our next Fitness and Nutrition Expert Certification Program starting September 26th. So if you want more information, hit up fitchicksacademy.com, and you can learn with us and get certified. How fun is that?
All right. Okay. Awesome. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Have an awesome day. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.